It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You're like, I haven't done this in a while, and I'm like, this was the first one.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking out the episode, the series. Do hope you hit that subscribe button, actually, so you can keep up with, well, all the interviews that I put out. Three brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Nana, from the band of Monsters and Men. She has got her, I guess you'd call it her debut solo album, How to Start a Garden. So we're going to be talking about the record. She's going to tell us about working with the Nationals' Aaron Dessner, being inspired by old Godzilla movies, and also being a hermit kid who loved poetry. We're also going to hear about releasing a song for the first time in her native Icelandic language, and breaking into a national park to shoot the album cover on a glacier. It's a fun story. All that and more. We're talking How to Start a Garden. It's Kyle Meredith with Nana.
Oh, hi.
It's a pleasure to have you on here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so what have we got going here? You're stepping outside of the bands, outside of Monsters and Men, with this solo record, which, by the way, let me give you the compliment. It is such a beautiful and brilliant album.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know. Like, I just had a urge to do this record this way. And, you know, I've been writing with my band for such a long time. And I just had like this urge. I felt like this one had to be, you know, in my own specific way.
Now, was that because of the songs? It's like, as you were writing, did you hear it a different way than usual?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every time the band comes together and we're writing songs, and everyone is bringing their own little puzzle piece, there's always a moment where like there's a song that just doesn't fit, and in the past that's just kind of been put to the side, but right now I went in with the focus of doing this record this way. And then, you know, continuing doing stuff with the band too. It's just like, it's just nice to have a different creative output, you know.
I guess it's interesting the way it's built too, because, you know, in the press release at least, it's like this is your debut solo album, but there was Songbird back in the day. Is there a difference between the two of why you sort of might look at it like this might be the first thing?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I like it. You did like your research. That's like really deep.
You gotta know what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. Because, when I started out, here in Iceland, I did have like a solo project, and I was in multiple bands, and I was always experimenting and playing and trying to find people who wanted to just play music with me. and then I had this solo thing going on, but I never made the record. And the band, my band of Monsters and Men, kind of grew from my solo project. It started where I was just, you know, recruiting these guys, and then we just clicked and we started to make music together. So we felt like we should move on as a band. And I kind of, so yeah, like this solo project has always been a part of me. So it's a new thing, but it's also just something that I'm kind of revisiting, I guess.
Yeah, it almost actually sounds really fluid the way it's worked, you know, yeah, throughout time.
It really, like doing this record wasn't a thing where I was like, it was very natural, you know, and it wasn't like this big decision. It just really happened very naturally. And it just felt really right for me right now.
Well, you know, I was going to ask, you know, one of those typical interview questions, like, you know, was there a sense of finding your musical identity? But I sort of wonder if you even approach it in that same way because of the way it sort of worked like this.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, like, you know, because when I started writing for this record, it was, you know, right in the pandemic, like, you know, how so many people kind of enter this quiet space and start to create something. And like finding my sound in this, I just think it was something that kind of came naturally with time. There was a lot of time in this record. It was just, I really took my time, and it was a big secret. Like, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my friends. I didn't tell anybody, like, you know, I told a few of the guys in the band, like, hey, you know, and like let them hear the stuff that I was working on. But it was a big secret, and I liked to have it that way because I felt like I could be the most creative in that space where I, you know, ultimately could be like, never mind, you know, it's like just take the pressure off, and it's nice.
I think that goes a long way to say then, I mean, even if you weren't searching for your own solo musical identity, there is a cohesive sound that does happen on here. I mean, you know, you use the word yourself, it is a quieter record in a lot of senses, and lyrically it's very expansive, but the sounds of it seems to, like, once you got rolling, did you just find yourself leaning into that, or was that even conscious?
Yeah, it was kind of unconscious, I think, in a way. I was working on this record in a lot of different places, so I guess that also influences the sound of the record. It was, you know, a lot of it was just recorded in my bedroom or in my cabin, and all of these places that have where I'm most myself, I guess, and in a very, like, you know, I feel comfortable. And then, of course, I went into the studio here in Iceland and also to upstate New York, where I was working, you know, with Josh Kaufman and Aaron Dessner. And that was really cool because, you know, they brought something, like their own thing to it too. And all of the people that came and played, and it all had a huge impact.
I'm always a fan of what Aaron especially does and his place up there in New York too. What did you get from working with him? I mean, he's obviously one of the great producers of our time right now. So, you know, what was your all's process and relationship like?
It was really cool because, you know, I'm a massive National fan, you know, I love them so much. So it was really cool when, you know, I got a chance to go up there and hang out and work on these songs together. I just, you know, gained so much from just learning and also like entering the world of, because I've been working with people for such a long time and we have a certain rhythm, and it was so cool to go in and work with someone else. And yeah, also just the way that he produces and stuff, I just think it's really cool.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Nana. So we hear Godzilla as the first single. I don't know if you think of it in this way, but that being the first song out of the gates to introduce this whole project, was there something about it that, you know, what did it say? What did it represent towards the whole project?
I had a really clear idea that I wanted that song to be the first song. I think when I was writing it, there was something, I think it just sums up the album in some way, where it is a quieter, it is like, you know, there's a lot of space in it, but there's also some turns. And I think also like lyrically, it just represents a lot of what I wanted to say and how I wanted to come out, you know, out of the gates. And I just like a slower starts, you know, I like kind of creeping in.
I like the way you, I like the contrast of that phrase creeping in, considering Godzilla being, you know, ideally this huge thing. But, you know, I think I've read about, you know, on the web and everything, you talking about how parts of this song was actually inspired by the old Godzilla movies. Yeah. But as you talk about even lyrically, you know, what did this album need to say?
Well, like for this song, Godzilla, I was inspired. I was like watching, I was in my cabin and I was like binge watching all of these Godzilla movies and just, and the thing is like this concept like of the villain and how it really depends on who is kind of like, for me watching those movies and seeing how Godzilla is being so destructive, but also, you know, and they're like the villain, but also they're just trying to exist. They're just like walking around and their nature, you know, and we're like, oh, you guy, you know, like you're horrible. But also like Godzilla isn't even really aware of us, apart from the fact that we're like trying to kill it, you know, it's just really trying to be exist. So I was kind of fascinated by that. Yeah, I guess that just spoke to me.
It made me think of just like how we put labels, how we identify what is a monster and what isn't a monster.
And I think it's also like the simplicity sometimes of being like good and bad, and you know, and once you kind of start to see things from a, you know, to shift the perspective a little bit, it can just have a huge impact, I guess.
Chris, there's also, I mean, it wasn't lost on me, your first single of this project is a monster, and I'm sure that is just coincidence of Monsters and Men. I think, man, what a running theme you've got going there.
Yeah, it was kind of an accident, though. I realized that, too, when I also put it out. I'm like, oh, oops.
But those moments, you know, the metaphors and whatnot, I mean, your poetry is so good. Is what I'm getting to. And, you know, even when I look at like a Disaster Master, you know, I'm addicted to disasters and such a simple line, but you know, it speaks for so much more. Where did that come from? Like, and I'm talking about the poetic side of you. Was that from when you were, did you write poetry when you were younger? Where did that side really blossom?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I was always like, I was such a hermit kid. Like, I don't know. I loved my bedroom when I was a kid, and I loved just being in there and drawing and writing stories. And I was definitely always very much in my own world and in my own head. And so I guess it does come from there, where I like spending time in my own head or something. I don't know. I guess that comes from there. And I like lyrics that don't, like, you don't immediately maybe understand what you're talking about. There's like a layer to it. I always just kind of gravitate towards that.
Well, of course, and I guess that happens all over the record. It makes a little bit sense to, Sputnik, and I'm only even taking the title of it because that evokes space, which is like the loneliest place that you could be.
Yeah, true. But like Sputnik is also like, it means traveling companion. And I think that's really beautiful, you know, because it's a satellite that just like travels with the Earth. And so that's really what that song is about, where it's like, somebody who is like traveling through life with you.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Nana. Crybaby. Whatever you can tell me about that one. What is Crybaby? Where does that one come from?
Crybaby is, so it's a title. So the title Crybaby is basically, I was getting to a point when I was writing the album, because it's a very personal album too. Like I was kind of trying to figure out a lot of things. And when I was writing that song, I was just kind of sick of myself a bit. And so the title is kind of being like, Crybaby, you know, you're just like kind of sick, a little bit sick of it all. Yeah, so that's where that comes from.
So by the end of the album, mm-hmm. Let's see, Bed, am I hearing it right? Like you're singing in Icelandic at that point?
Yeah.
What was the choice there? Because otherwise it's, you know, an English album, but at the end you take us on that detour.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, because like I have written songs in Icelandic, but I've never like released them, and I find it really hard to write in Icelandic. It's just you're so vulnerable, I feel like it's very easy to get very cliche in Icelandic. So I've always avoided it. But for this one, it just happened very naturally. It's just like, because it's a mantra in the end. It's just you're saying something and you're kind of, there's like a landscape to the end of the song. I feel like, you know, it's, there's like a vastness. And to me, reciting those words, it just made sense. It just kind of came, and I loved doing it.
It's beautiful, the way it feels. It's interesting to hear you say how vulnerable it feels to do that, because I would think that would be the most, you know, natural thing for you to do.
Right.
You know, what makes it vulnerable?
What makes it vulnerable? I guess it's just like with anything. Like also when I'm playing in Iceland, I'm playing a show, I'm always the most nervous. It's so close to home. It's like, it feels extra real. And with the words too, I think it's somehow, I feel less vulnerable, even though I'm saying things maybe that are very, very personal, and I'm saying it in a language that everyone understands, you know? It doesn't really make any sense. I don't know.
It's interesting too. There's something I feel like lately that's been drawing, and I'm speaking about Iceland in the musical context. Like, I know Damon Albarn just moved up there not long ago, and I keep hearing about it a little bit more and more. And And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's even noticeable. Is it noticeable? Like, are you seeing some attraction more than
before?
Yeah, than before.
I don't know. Maybe everyone was just, you know, after COVID, like, oh, let's go to an island. And look, they're just, you know, like used to this isolation, like just let's be more isolated.
What were you writing about the other day when you posted a picture and you said you were freezing your buns off on a Icelandic glacier?
Yeah, that's my life.
I didn't know if you were like out there shooting a video or something, if that was that
well,
was something.
So yeah, it's like it's the album cover basically. When we went up there to shoot, you know, because I've really envisioned for the album, it's called How to Start a Garden, but I like opposites, and I really wanted you to have the feeling of like, there's nothing, like, and you're starting from scratch, how to start a garden, and there's no hope. We want no hope.
And, we want no hope.
Yeah, no hope for us. So I was like, okay, we need to go up to a glacier. And there's a glacier, Snæfellsjökull, which is this beautiful, beautiful glacier in Snæfellsnes, like on a peninsula. And we were driving there, and I called like the road service, like, oh, it's fine to drive up there, right? And they're like, no, it's closed. And I'm like, shit, but we need the shots. Let's just do it. And we like went up there and, you know, like on cars that were not equipped, and got up there, and it was terrifying. And we took the picture, and there was like this white out, you know, so we were, you know, just terrified that we could get stuck there. Anyways, it was terrifying. We got the picture. We're alive. No hope.
No hope. You know, I got to tell you, over here, especially in America, far away from glaciers, of course, we hear about a lot, but it's in the environmental news, and all we hear about is they're melting. And we think, but maybe there's hope. And now I've got someone on the ground next to them going, you've got no hope. It's all over.
Oh, that's horrible. No, I don't want to be the ambassador for like no hope. No, there's hope. But not on, no, I don't know.
I won't put that on your shoulders, but I'm also going to spend the rest of my day just doing that little move right there. Thanks for that. It is a beautiful album, and as you mentioned, you know, it's, you know, kind of dual purpose. You're still, you know, of Monsters and Men, still doing thing. You guys have tour dates coming up this year. Does it feel like you're sort of you know, working two things at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely feel like that. It's great though. Like I like this. I like putting out music and writing music. So the more that I can do, the better. But I'm definitely trying to find the balance right now.
Well, I appreciate your suffering for your arts, for us. whether it's, you know, working yourself thin or you know, freezing your buns off on a glacier for just a photo. This is such a beautiful record. It really is. Even in its absence of hope, I've so enjoyed listening to it.
Oh God, I shouldn't have said that. That's horrible.
It only adds an extra layer that I'm going to enjoy digging into. It really am. Nana, thank you so much for doing what you do, and thank you for taking the time to talk about it today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And my thanks, Nana. The new album is called How to Start a Garden. And thanks to you for checking out the episode and the series. I do hope, again, you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews. 3 brand new interviews a week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, delivered straight to you from the usual podcast places, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFBK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and then head over to WFBK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news, and you can catch me on the social media spots as well. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is @KyleMeredith. So do hope you like and follow along, and that does it for another edition I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Like here, we just pronounce everything very harshly.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.